here to teach us more about walking by faith and more about the resurrection life is Reverend Tanya Scheuer.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Hi, you may be seated. Thank you for your warm greetings. Hello. Who's up there? Tim. Hello, everybody who is out in CD land and live streaming land can tell that it's who I'm talking about. I was ready to walk out, and the Holy Spirit says, look around your office. And I'm like, okay. So I just start looking at all these things that people have given me and, you know, getting all happy. And I saw this one, and I thought, uh-oh, that's the one. It says, it's my day. It's a little stand. It's from the Magels. It's a cupcake holder. And I thought, what's that got to do with resurrection life and, you know, death and all these things we're talking about? But you know what? When you take your last breath or you see the Lord Jesus, either one, is it still your day? Is it my day? I mean, look how happy I got just thinking about a cupcake and that little stand say, it's my day. Like, if I am laying in a bed, everybody's hovering all over me, it looks like everything's miserable, I absolutely expect my spirit to ping my mind to say, it's your day. It's your day. That I will see angels in the spirit, that I will see the Lord Jesus, that I will be settled and peaceful and comforted and know that it's my day. Because Jesus had his day for us, didn't he? And I went, oh, that's a good prop. I will bring that out. And guess what was on it? This is what they gave me that was on it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That'll preach, as Kevin would say. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When we were discussing this topic, and it's a life subject. I hate to put things like series and topics, and because it sounds so trivial. It's life. It's real stuff. And we can joke around about death and being paralyzed and things like that. And there are people that are experiencing that right now. And it's not funny. And it's miserable. And there's pain and suffering, and it's real stuff. It's life. But where are we going to live? In our mind and in our heart, because we change atmosphere. We change things. I mean, just the way we speak, when I heard living God, somebody said it back there again. Was it you? It pinged me, like it stirred my spirit when I heard it and I looked up. And that's when I heard look around for this prop thing. And I went, okay. So freedom, no matter what's going on, you still carry the presence of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the living God. We carry that no matter what it looks like, no matter if it's your last breath, or if we hear the voice of the archangel and the trump, we are still kingdom movers, atmosphere changers. I heard a nice little statement this week about steward of atmosphere, didn't I, Ken Schneider? That God had given him a download about being a steward of atmosphere. And that's why some of us are called, and we should expect to help each other when we're in affliction and we're being pressed in on from the other kingdom. That we will come in and change the atmosphere spiritually, right? Who do you want around you if you're being attacked, afflicted, or if your body has just worn out? You know, you get one. You get one. And so however you steward that, I don't know. But when it wears out, it wears out. So we ought to pray, and ask for revelation and clarity and all of that. So I don't know. I'm not the great I am of what's going to happen in everybody's life. But why don't we have a say? Why don't we believe what the Word says? Why don't we act like what the Word says? Why don't we expect to do the things that we want people to do for us? An atmosphere steward, an atmosphere changer. So, all that from a little candle, and it's my day. I mean, when does it quit being your day? Why do we have to say, well, I'm getting older and everything's falling apart and I feel, yeah, right, we all know that's going to happen, so why bother to say it? So we can all be miserable with you? Here, Kevin, would you bring me that? There's an article on my desk, magazine, right to the left corner. I thought, oh, we're not going to have time for this, but I'll say it now. We had Pastor Julie here from California the other week, and she did such a great section from the Word on Caleb. And tied it with Wayne so beautifully. And I was reading my Joseph Prince Grace Revolution magazine. Follow Jesus and blessings follow after you. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful with the ship on the water? Boy, you could just, that just pings all kinds of stories. And there was a verse at the very end of the article that stuck out to me. Psalm 92, 13 through 14 says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Isn't that something? I just got all happy about that. I think the minute you start thinking you're fading away and I need this medication and I'm sick and they're telling me this, like, post that all over your house, in your car, because that's what the word says. I'm flourishing and I'm fresh and I'm green and I'm alive, no matter what it looks like. And those are the kind of people you want around you that they know those scriptures. They believe in those things. They believe that angels are present. Right? So we've had lots of conversations about this part of life, is the best way to say it, I would say, this part of life. And I've had questions about spirits of death and angels of death, and, you know, it just, even saying the death word, I don't like it. We went to name the series, we're going to call it Victory Over Death, and I just said he doesn't like it. Is that a true statement? Yes. But the word death invokes things. And so I waited, and then all of a sudden, you know, a little bit of time, and I heard resurrection life. Which one do you like better? Resurrection life. Remember, kingdom trumps kingdom. The word death invokes things. It changes the atmosphere if we don't trump it with Jesus, if we don't trump it with the words of the word. We say so many things and let it fall off and float around and stick. Resurrection life. Victory to life. Victory to Jesus. I don't care. I'm just going to try to not be saying that death word all the time. Because it is. It's like the word cancer. You can preach and preach and preach, and then you could walk in and they say, "You have cancer," and you just fall out. And not go, "It's my day." You go, "It's my day? Is my time up?" Does that make sense to anybody? I'm just giving you the way I feel about it. So I think John 10:10 answers, is there an angel of death and a spirit of death? We know that there's two kingdoms, right? So we know there's dark angels, there's holy angels, it's a reality. But John 10:10 says, the thief comes for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So right there, kill. Who's the thief? It's the devil. He operates as a spirit. So why do we need a bunch of titles and names? And they'll come to steal and kill and destroy everything. We could have all the knowledge and know that we have eternal life and even believe it and still live like everything's been stolen from us. Have you ever experienced any of that? All is lost. See, when we're hopeless, then it invites those things. How do we keep hope? We keep Jesus in our perspective all the time. Isn't it great that no matter what the weakness of the body is doing, your spirit can still respond with the Spirit of God? It's not dependent on whether you can get up and move around. None of that. It's dependent on what? Faith. It's dependent on if you believe or not. Faith moves things. And I love that he even says, just a little mustard seed. Isn't he so great to just cover us folks, me, that says, well, I don't know if I have that. I don't know. If we compare ourselves to others, all we need is that little teeny, teeny, teeny. This was a sidebar, but I'm going to say it to you. You write these things out in an order, and then I'm back there going. I said, Tom, one of these days I'm just going to quit this typing stuff up and just come out there and start talking. And apparently I just did it. So let's go back to the notes, which says, on the way home from Columbus yesterday, I was driving home from a birthday party for a good friend. Happy birthday, Denise Baker. And my heart got pinged for a statement. And it was so, I spoke it into my phone. I knew it was important. And then it felt impressed upon me last night that I should share it with you because it means something to somebody. And it's simplicity. It's nothing deep. But to me, the simple things are deep. And I heard it very clearly. Do things with more consistency and greater joy. Do things with more consistency and greater joy. And I went, well, now I think I do. Yeah. And then I heard it a second time. Do things with more consistency and greater joy. So now I'm back on track. I'm not questioning. Stop questioning. That doesn't usually help you much. At least not me. It stops some of the process if you don't do it at the right time. And I said, what things? And everything. So if you think you're consistent and have great joy, go back and check. What do you think? How you think, how you do things, how you brush your teeth. I don't know. But that speaks something to somebody. It did to me. I've been kind of doing a little check. So there you go. Do things with more consistency and greater joy. Oh, Lordy glory. Then I said, note to self. And I said, okay, Lord, I need the kingdom to help me. Acknowledge something so it can help you, right? Acknowledge it. Then you can receive it better. Well, Seth had to go to kindergarten screening this past week. So he's ready, at least as much as the check sheet they gave us. He talked all the way there. We practiced. And we're driving in. He's excited. He sees the school buses. We get out, and he's like, why do I have to go here? I don't even know these people. I said, because the policeman said you have to go to school or they're going to come to our house and get you. Which I know somebody that did that. They forgot to register their kids for homeschooling, and after 2 weeks, they were at their front door with the police. Not one, but two. Wow. So they're kind of serious about it. And so he's all excited, and immediately he went to like that wariness after he said that statement. So we walk in the front door. I timed it so we would be last because he's not real fond of a lot of people and crowds and all this stuff. So we walk in, and immediately these two teachers come over, and they're very nice. I mean, they're trained for this. It's their life. And they look at him, and the one says, can I have your coat? No. How about you come with me, and we'll go where the kids are? No. And he didn't have an attitude. He had his head down, and he's looking at the ground. He's going, no. Like, real caught quiet, but it was evident. Nobody's going to touch me and make me, and I'm not doing it. Nope. And so they just kept questioning him. Finally, he goes around to the behind me, puts his head in my back, and puts his arms around me and says no real loud. Now, part of me was like, oh, he loves me. He wants to stay with me. And I'm like, no, this isn't good. The police are coming. And so I got over that, and I knew I didn't say anything, and I just let these teachers work. And I mean, it's like 5 minutes. That's a long time of no's and trying to talk this big talk, and he wasn't having any of it. I said, talk about your new fish, Hoover. Tell her about Hoover. So then he perks up, and he lets go of me. And she was so wise, she started to build a relationship with him. She started to press in instead of just order him around and ask him a bunch of stuff. I mean, you train him not to go with strangers, talk to people they don't know. So he's okay. He's maybe interested. He goes, okay, but she's going with me. So now we're okay if I go along with him. She said, well, no, you have to go by yourself, and your mom has to go to a meeting. So we had to take him and show him where the meeting was and where I was and all this. By the time he gets done and my meeting's over, he's got a big old color paper he did, and he comes out. He goes, I want to come here every day. I want to come here every day. But why did he act the way he did? I thought about this during the week and when I was getting ready with this. Fear. Fear of what? The unknown. Fear of what he didn't know. The minute he gets comfortable with you and a relationship starts building, things change very quickly. Why? Because it builds trust. The opposite of fear is faith. And faith is trust. And a lot of that was dependent on me. He said okay to them because he trusts me. He loves me. He has faith in me. And he went with what I took him to, right? And that's the way it is with us in the kingdom. It's either fear or faith. And it's all about relationship. And so if we have issues when we talk about death, dying, resurrection, Christ returning, we should be so absolute about what the scriptures say about those things that you and God and the Lord Jesus know what settles your heart. Not what I say, what settles your heart. I was raised from my whole life knowing what the scriptures say about that, that when we die, we are, this is how we would say it, awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have hope for Christ's return. Remember, it was always Christ or Jesus Christ, but Christ. Billy Graham's like that too. You won't find much of Billy Graham's work that he doesn't speak about Christ or Jesus Christ. That's how he speaks. So, knew all those things, believed all those things. But then I went off to work in the hospital, 18 years old, working in ICU, watching people die. And it wasn't pretty. Remember the three on Christmas Day? You know, and I look back and I think, man, they treated me pretty dirty there. Here I'm the nurse's aide, and I've got to go tell the three families that their loved ones have died. Usually that's a nurse's job. Three on Christmas Day. People were and are scared to death of death. And as I think about that, I thought, well, why is that? I know all the scriptures. I know the truth of what it says. So what is the problem here? But we're scared of how is it going to go? How is it going to go? What is it going to look like? How is it going to feel? Am I going to be alone? All that unknown. That's why we've got to press into Jesus, faith, trust. We took a trip, Wayne and I, and Ellen was along too, I believe, and we went down to Florida, and we had some meetings with a lot of young folks, dinners actually, to get to know some of our young people down there, and we saw Harv Plattig. Hello, Peggy. She couldn't be with us. She was out traveling, and Harv came with us, and we had time to spend with Harv and talk with him. Great gentleman, he and his wife, Peggy. And before we went down, this subject was something we had been talking about and amongst ourselves here and in the scriptures. And Tom called me at the last minute. He said, hey, when you're down there, why don't you ask Harv what he thinks if you're going to see him? I said, okay. And it was a little specific section. But we were sitting at this restaurant, and I looked up and I said, Harv, I'm going to ask you something that Tom asked me. And it was about death, sleep, communicating with the grave, where does your spirit go, consciousness in the grave, like all kinds of things you can just come up with. And Harv didn't even get phased. He didn't get on a bunny trail. He didn't get distracted. He didn't start throwing all these kind of things out like a big debate. He just says, well, I think it's so simple. He put his little hands like this. He's got big hands, not little hands, but he put his hands like this, cupped his hands, and he says, the word says we sleep in Jesus. And I just was so settled in my spirit. That was a new concept to me, to hear it from someone like that. Yes, you can read it in the Word. Wayne did the other week. But we never spoke like that. We never said Jesus without Christ. If we spoke that way, we just said it when we were reading it from the Scriptures. But he said it with all the feeling of someone who pursues a relationship with Jesus every day. Every day he and Jesus pick out his screensaver because it's a picture of Jesus. He's going to come up and teach. I hope Peggy, too, to share some things from our stage. He's just been in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's changed his whole world. It's brought him back to places that he was when he was 17 years old and first believed in Jesus and got saved. And he said it was just like snow fell all out, and nobody had walked in it. Just this settling. And I went, oh, I love that. Sleep in Jesus. I was going to show you a few pictures. When we went to Ireland, we went to get in the car in Cong, Ireland. Mom and Ellen were getting in the car, and I heard in the spirit, go over there. And I didn't know what over there was, except it looked like an old ruined church. You want to put up that first slide? There it is. That's in Cong, Ireland. This is an abbey that goes back to before the 7th century. That's really a long time ago. Lots of things there in Ireland like that. So you know what? They're pretty old over there, and they have a lot of history. That means they have a lot of God history. A lot of God history is what I like to think. I don't like to go anywhere and think, huh, what are we going to learn here? What's God going to show us? I looked at Tom. I thought I could go on a story there, but I won't. Next slide. This was another part of the abbey across the street from the slide that you just saw. These are some of the archways. The next one. Old, old, old. So these are several different abbeys that have been built on the same site, you know, new buildings, and obviously this one is in ruins. And while I was in this section, of course, they're in the car waiting. I think Mom did get out and maybe come over. I saw a tombstone, And I got so tickled when I saw it, because look what it said. Is it this next one? Let's see. I think it is. In memory of Henry Helms, died 1892, his two children and his wife. And at the very bottom it says, they are not dead, but sleep in Jesus. And I just got so tickled. It reminded me of that talk with Harv. So we talked with Harv in January, and then this was in February. This was like February 8th. They are not dead, but sleep in Jesus. Look how the scriptures trumps death. Because we have victory over death, right? Victory over death. Where is your sting? They are not dead, but sleep in Jesus. And I thought, well, I think I'd like that on mine if we're going to have one someday. Next slide. I think there might be another one. Oh, I did an up close of it. Next one. There. I was really there. Ellen took that. Look at my skinny self. I look so good. See, I can tell you that I'm happy about myself there and feel skinny because she's shooting from the bottom up. So that's a little trick. Never let anybody get down on their knees and shoot up at you. You have just grown three sizes. But now look, there's a little from the bottom up, and I feel confident that those legs look a little skinnier than they used to be. So thank you, Ellen, for she took us around and we had a great time. We did a lot of things, but I was more rested there and just peaceful there than probably anywhere I've ever been on a trip. It was so just different. I could say it's very storybook. It's not like Europe. It's very storybook, but I think it's because God has been there a long time. I think they have a great God history, don't they, John Kelly? I quoted someone the other day, and you said, hey, he's from Ireland. Was it St. Hilaria? Or was it, it was a commentary. He'll think of it. He goes, oh, they're Irish. I'm like, hey, you and him and everybody else in America. Ah! Yeah. Well, could you put up the picture of Jesus where he's pulling someone out? Of the one that Dan did so beautifully for me. There it is. I love that. I love that. Death is underneath that rock. I don't even have to think of it that way. Jesus pulling anyone who wants to come up with him, he'll pull you up with him. Well, let's take a look at some scripture. Hebrews 2 in the NLT. I've started reading the New Living Testament a little more. After we had Jan Majira here, one of my questions to her, the very last day I said, what do you like to read? If you're going to choose something to read, a translation, what do you like? And she said, I really think the New Living Translation is very close to original text. I think it reads really well. Obviously, you have to be careful when you flip around into different texts. It can have a different connotation. It can take you a different way. But that was what she recommended. And so I've been reading in that a little bit. So do you have an NLT or do we not? There it is. Listen to this. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. And this is an area of life about death and resurrection that we don't want to drift away from. Have you ever seen people that dive in the Olympics? And, you know, it looks kind of like scary. And you know that they know what they're doing, especially when you start climbing up above really high places. You want me to do what? No, I don't think so. It's kind of like rock climbing too. But they're so assured. They have such faith and trust in their coaches that trained them how to think, how to act, and what to do. Jesus is your life coach, people. He will train us on what to think and what to do and how to do it. And where do you think he learned it? From the scriptures, from the Father, same as us. So we all get to dive. And that's how we should be with these subjects in the Word. About who is Jesus Christ? Who is God? What is death? What is resurrection? Do we communicate with the dead? All these things should be really firm in our hearts that we have settled it with the scriptures and with the Father and the Lord Jesus. And I think it's interesting when you watch those Olympics, how great they are. They dive off on platforms. Those platforms aren't like spring diving, where they go out and they jump up and down. They have two kinds of diving. I'm thinking they have some of the board diving. But it's not like your swimming pool. It's not like this flopping board. The vision I had that I'm trying to explain to you was platforms. that you are solid on your platform about some different subjects. The other week when I asked for those under 30 to stand up and manifest, bring forth speaking tongues, interpretation, or prophecy, that was the Holy Spirit, to be very specific like that. And what he wanted to show me was how many did not stand. Because it's not anybody's fault what we do or don't do in here, but the buck stops with me. I either get to lead it or I don't. And he was pressing upon me about there's some things you need to press in and teach a little more. That there's no fear. Why is that? Why don't people want to jump up and give that way? It's fear. Why don't we speak forward about things like death and resurrection and some of the things I just named? The common denominator is fear. So I said, okay, well, and then I knew who to go call on. So with the platforms, they're firm, they're resolute when they go out there. They're not springing all around. I mean, they trust what they know and what they're going to do. But it's interesting to me that there's different levels of the platforms. I saw three, in my spirit, but I don't know. Is there three? I saw three different levels of these platforms. We don't have to all be at the same place at the same time. I like how Pastor Julie talked about being in alignment, not agreement. Alignment, not agreement. Because if we all wait till we can dive on the same platform together, we're all just going to get nowhere. But I think we need to be resolute and on our platform on certain things from the scriptures, what we believe. Especially for your own self. Like to live life for your kids, for your grandkids. Because if not, then there's cracks in your mortar. There's cracks in the mortar of your foundation. And the only way to fill those spiritual cracks is with the blood of Jesus. That's why the communion is so important. It reminds you of the blood of Jesus. And what he did. And that he got up. And on and on and on it goes. So here we go. Let's go a little farther. Look at that. All that with verse 1. Oh my. For the message of God delivered through angels has always stood firm. Look at that. Angels are back in the picture here in the scriptures. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that should think about them, or a son of man that should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is not lower than the angels now, is he? He is crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the one he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters, for he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as the human being could he die, and only by dying could he bring the power of the devil, who had the power of death. See why I don't like the word? The power of death. And he likes to wield it, let me tell you. And he used fear to move it. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Oh my goodness, we should still go. This is so good, this whole section. Verse 16, we also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. There's another translation that says he's able to help wherever help is needed. And in the Message, I love how it says, this is the section in the Message Bible. I don't know if we can pull that up. Let's start at 13 if you can. Again, he puts himself in the same family circle. I love this. What's our vision here? Family. Right, Kevin and Tom? We're family. He puts himself in the same family circle when he says, even I live. This is Jesus telling us how to live. I live by placing my trust in God. And yet again, I'm here with the children God gave me. Verse 14, since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. By embracing death, taking it into himself, he destroyed the devil's hold on death. And here we go. And freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. I get that. Did you get all that? I got that deep when I read it like that. I went, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Let's have a communion right now. Yeah? We're going to have one today, too. We're absolutely going to have one today, too. I'm thinking, well, should we do it right now? Because it just feels like right now. Oh, let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. Yay, are we excited? You know, there's some churches that they have communion every single week. They use the little communion cups like we do, and they make it available. Or you can go to the side afterwards, and they call it intinction when you take the bread and you dip it right into the wine or the grape juice, whatever it is, but it's always available. And I would love to do that, but I'm nervous to do it because the Lord didn't say to do it. And I think it's because he doesn't want it to be rote. He doesn't want it to be like, yeah, whatever. It's not something you set to the side. It's something you bring to the front. That's why you can do it when you eat, because we never miss a meal here. We're always about what we're going to eat and when we're going to eat and who's going, and let's call ahead and find a place. Get a reservation. I even keep notes on my phone, different places to eat, places we go. When we go back, I'm taking so-and-so. Well, do we do that with communion? And oh, yes, we're doing communion too. If you're like, communion. Okay. Do we got to get out candles? And I don't drink wine. What, you get where it goes? It just turns very religious and heavy quickly. It should be, it's my day. Get the cupcakes and the grape juice. It's my day because Jesus had a day. And then he had another day where he got up, right? Amen. A resurrected day. We have covered some ground. This is good. Have you ever avoided something because you didn't want to know the answer? Scared to death of death. I was thinking about how we should push that back. And then on next thing I thought was, you know what, that's too hard. Jesus would just step over it. Pushing something feels like I've really got to be involved with something pushing against me. I'd rather just step over it. The word says that we should come boldly before the throne and make our request known. I don't know if it's a little rhyme like that, but we should come boldly before the throne and make our request known. So I've already done that, but maybe you should. Maybe you have already. How do you want it to go? If you're going to fall asleep, sleep in Jesus, await the return, if Christ tarries, why would we just leave that to the other kingdom? Because we know that we can see where the disciples in some of the scriptures suffered through death, and it wasn't, I closed my eyes and went to sleep and turned and faced the wall. It wasn't, my natural forces were not abated and my eyes were not dim. Who knows the heart of a man save for God? We talked a little bit last week about doctors and machines that think we know when people die. Oh, they died. We have a flat line. And yet, I've been in two situations where someone was flatlined and they sat up and talked. We have testimonies. We could have did Isaiah Reed. Google Isaiah Reed's testimony. Stabbed 12 times, shot 8 times. They've cracked his chest for an autopsy, and his mama said, oh, he's not dead. She refused to believe it. And she said, put me on the speakerphone. And they put her on the speakerphone during the autopsy, and she started speaking in tongues out loud over that speakerphone, and he sat up and breathed with a cracked chest in an autopsy. That's kind of like, wow. I think God has things in hand. Look at the importance of who's around you. Is that someone going to be the person that lays their hand on you or comes into the situation and says, okay, God, what are we going to do? Or are they going to be the one that says, okay, time of death is this, call the coroner. We didn't do that when someone fell asleep in our house to await the return of the Lord Jesus. We had expectation they would get up. And we took the time to ask the Father if we were supposed to get them up. I think about that. I have friends that I trust with those responsibilities. He's put a few people on my list and said, this is your responsibility. So let's make our requests known. We shouldn't ignore what the devil pays attention to. And he pays attention to the affairs of life in this world. And he has orchestrated life that he can torture people that don't need to be tortured. He can make things 10 times worse than they need to be, all because we didn't file a paper. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Things like wills, things like estates, things like power of attorney, things like spouses sitting with no money or access to any of their accounts because they didn't do the proper paperwork to give them the ability to take care of that. Yes, the believers, I believe, will step in and God will get it covered. But oh, the heartache. Some people can raise their hands here, right? I've told several people, you know, get a will. It's things that we don't think about. We're young. We're living forever. Yes, we're living forever in eternity. But when we're sleeping, we're sleeping. Didn't Wayne teach us that last week? They're not going to say, hey, Tanya, what kind of flowers did you want here at this little memorial we're having? Knowing me, I'm going to probably have that down piece of paper too. Here is the kind I would like. But literally, I mean, you wouldn't believe the torture and tears that I have seen and experienced to help people through these times in their life. Because, well, we don't know. Do they want to have their organs donated or not? I mean, we're in a different world than we were 2,000 years ago. What about cremation? The fights, the argument. Do they want cremated or not? Now, let me tell you, God's going to get you up regardless. I don't care if you're cremated or not. And he'll get you up from ashes if he says raise the dead. I don't care if somebody's cremated. If he says get them up, we'll get them up. Right? Amen. What's that? That's just, what is that word? Semantics, I guess. Or what is that? If it's ashes or a body, who cares? Just do it if he says do it. But you all know what I'm talking about. We've had folks in our family, they wouldn't talk about any of that. None of it. And then the other side, oh, they talk about all of it. We know where the dinner's going to be and who's going to be invited. And then, we haven't even talked about the things, like the stuff, like who's going to get the stuff. Right? It's just crazy. All that emotional turmoil. And it's because people want what you would have wanted. And you are asleep awaiting the return. So just take care of it already. And you can do those kind of things and get people to help you. It doesn't cost a lot of money in the age of the internet. You can write it down on a piece of paper. Give it to people that you trust. But those are things to think about and take care of. Do I want to be on life support? Do I want people jumping up and down on my chest? Do I want a feeding tube? I mean, these are real things that people are going to get asked. If it doesn't go, that you just died in your sleep. I'm specific. But I tell you, when I think I need something like, you know, some new clothes or something, I'd give him size, color, store. When I wanted my Ugg boots, and then he ended up getting me 3 pair, 3 different kinds. So, you know, I loved when we changed it to celebration of life. Even though I talked to someone recently, they said, you know what? Well, I appreciate that terminology, but we're still sorrowing. But I think the word celebration is much better than a funeral dredge, because it does drive what people do during a service, how they preach and how they teach. I tell you, I want to know the person. I want to know something about their life and something funny and what they did while they were here and who they loved and what they believe in and all the great things that you think you know about somebody. We've had two funerals recently, and it just shocked me how their own kids didn't even know some of the stories of how they met, how they dated. All the things that are done in secret. The time to reward some of those is maybe at a memorial for somebody. And to get to be excited and celebrate and to speak the truth, not beat people over the head. Have you ever been to one of those memorials where they try to get people born again with fear of death? The greatest problem with the fear of death, it invites the other kingdom because we want to stay too long in it. The word talks about in Ecclesiastes about seasons of life. There is a time to every season, a purpose unto, and it goes through all these things that are a season. And when our emotions get involved, it can get really drug out. And so we got to be in a relationship with the Father and the Lord Jesus and have good friends that will help us through. Will help us through. Boy, we could just go into stories there about people that have fallen asleep that we so miss. My father-in-law taught me that about missing people. That it's missing them. Well, it says we trust in Jesus, right? Come weal or woe, that's a good song. So I think those things that I just talked about, that's how you keep your faith bigger than fear. You address things that nobody wants to talk about. You address things that nobody wants to talk about. When I talked about dying alone, you know, there's situations where people have to be in a nursing home and they have to be separated from family members, and that isn't the way they wanted it to go. I had to talk with somebody yesterday that had to put their mother, who is suffering from a lot of different things, into a nursing home. And she's not happy about it. She's very hateful about it and upset about it and doesn't understand. She has some medical things that she just can't even process why this is happening to her. And I thought there's a good verse for that. It's a section, actually. But let's look at Matthew 28:20. Jesus spoke this to his disciples before he was taken back into heaven. Matthew 28:20. You can read that whole section later. It's all wonderful. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Very simple, isn't it? I am with you always. I am with you always. I am with you always. That's what you have to remember when you're in places you don't want to be. Or you're by yourself and thinking, what did everybody dump me off here for? We've all been left in life, even if we're not 90. Poor Joyelle, one time we did an event and we all went to the store and left her. She was in the bathroom and we forgot. She texted me, where's everybody at? I'm like, oh, we're now at the restaurant. And we forgot you. She told this other lady, the lady thought I had her and I thought the other lady had her. And we had two cars. And so I'm hope that while she was in the her bathroom, she heard from Jesus, I'm with you always. But she missed out on some things. Well, oh my goodness, important things. Let's look at John 14. He was further comforting his disciples. Verse 1, this is the NIV. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What a job he had to do. Really? Does it show you how special he was, how kind and loving he was, to bridge that gap in faith for people, that they knew God and they had these great mighty signs and miracles with God, and then he came to be the Word in the flesh, to represent God to us and be the image of God, and for them to get it, the bigger plan. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be a party. I like things nice. Jesus likes me happy, I like to say. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? I would be that guy asking that. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Isn't that fabulous? Those are settling things. These are the kind of things that if you're asked to come in and be at somebody's bedside, don't spend all your time talking to the nurse and all the family at the hallway. Go in there and read this. If it's me, come in there and read this to me. Start talking to me about angels. Start reading me these scriptures. I don't care what it. Quit fellowshipping with everybody in the hall, over me, around me, and not to me. Right? Everybody gets on the sidetrack that it's all about who's crying the loudest and more upset. Yep. And it's still about that person. And when that person is awaiting the return, it's about their spouse, their best friend, those people. And the missing people is a real thing. I do my hardest and my best. I try to keep a track to send a card to people when a year comes by. Or during that year, that all the traditions and all the memories you had, they aren't there. That's hard. And look, they've been gone a long time, some people that I love very dearly. And when I go to the funeral homes and I meet people, I pray for them. And I ask God to have the angels, the Lord Jesus with them, that they know it, that it changes the atmosphere, even if I can't be there. Because there's new things, new memories, new traditions. And you talk about people. Do you remember or have you ever been around families where somebody dies and they never talk about them again? Or they had a baby that died a very young, or it was a miscarriage, and we just act like nothing ever happened. It's the worst thing in the world. And it was just, let's ignore it, it'll go away. It was kind of the culture from the early 1900s. Maybe I didn't live before then, but I know at least from the 1900s up until now, that's the way a lot of people do things. And it changed drastically in obstetrics. My grandma had her first child was a bad forceps delivery, and he died after he was born. His name was Paul. And I remember staying at her house during the summer to work. During the summer, close to them, and we spent a lot of time together and went different places. And one of the first places she took me was to the graveyard to see Paul's burial site. I didn't even know about Paul. I'm like, Paul who? What are we doing? And she just talked to me about him. It was like cathartic. I mean, I'm like 16 years old. And I can still remember how mad she was that they let Grandpa hold that baby and never let her see it. Never let her see him. Because that's the way they handled that. Oh, they'll get over it better. But there is something about closure. There is something about that if you can do it. And if not, then the scriptures will have to comfort you and people around you. But here she was, 70-something years old. Late 70s, probably early 80s. And that can affect you spiritually in other ways too. And so I just let her talk. At least I had the sense to not say anything and let her talk about it. And then it made sense to me why an OB. That they get a hold of those little babies that are 3 months out of in utero. Footprints, fingerprints, locks of hair, bracelets, names, all of that. So think about those things. And then there's a place where it goes overboard. I'm thinking about Queen Victoria, who mourned Prince Albert's death. Forever. You talk about having spirits from the other kingdom. Everything was black. His room was kept the same for 40-something years. When the kids got married, she was wearing black, and we couldn't have anything too happy or too nice for the weddings. And, oh, she had to have a companion with her. And it was just that morbid. You know what I'm talking about? When that morbidity comes, and it brings the destroying stuff of death. It's like a black cloud over everything. Well, Jesus won, folks. Did he win? Jesus won. And the Lord's going to have to tell us how to say it, when to say it, and how to act like it, and whatever, and not get caught up in our emotions. For me, he tells me things ahead of time. And maybe you've known that, where you just knew in your heart, it's a difficult place to live. Because you don't know. That's why we have to still press in for faith and trust in what the scriptures say. And I'll tell you, I'm believing for a miracle till that person says no, or the Lord tells me. And in some situations, I've known that we weren't going to get a miracle. But I followed the lead of what that person wanted, and we didn't walk around starting to make plans. Right? It's just a walk by the Spirit, and my goodness, aren't we excited to have direction like that? There's another key that I think is important. We've talked about it. I talked about considering angels 3 weeks ago. And when we have the things of the kingdom in our hearts and in our minds and on our lips, that's what changes things. Because when you wade into situations, you have to have weapons. You have to often be able to speak to them. It's like called, let's make a deal. Like they don't want to give something up unless you've got something in return. Does that make sense? And that's why scripture is so important. When you can say a scripture to them, it's better than a fair trade. And they'll let spirits go, emotions go, crazy thoughts go, because you could speak the right word at the right time, and it's better than a fair trade. It can settle things like nothing else. And that's why if you don't know a scripture, you can talk about Jesus. My mom and I went out to California, to San Diego a couple years on a ministry trip, and we took some time to see my step-grandma, Bill Mays' mother, Carmen McFadden, Grandma Mac. And she was in a special, it wasn't a nursing home, but it was someone else's home, a residential home that they had turned into a care home. So they had maybe 4 or 5 people there that were not able to care for themselves. And she was bedridden, and we got there. She couldn't speak. You could tell she was very alert, oriented. They had her makeup on. She loved her makeup. She had blue eyeshadow all the time. She had blue garage doors all the time. And for my wedding, we got her a really nice blue dress and took her picture at Olin Mills, and she was happy. And when we walked in there, I was so sad because I knew she hated being there, and she couldn't talk to us, and she wanted to. You know, you could see it in her eyes. And then I remembered her sitting at our table all those years when she would fly out from California for a month or so. And back then, we were different about what we said and didn't say. We were quiet. And we'd be praying. Susie, my sister-in-law, sit here. We'd be praying. Here's Grandma Mac. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This is back when we didn't say that, folks. We didn't say any of that. She came from a four-square church, which is Amy Simpleton McPherson. Great healings and miracles. She was a miracle-believing lady and saw them out in California. Gosh, I'm sad I didn't get to talk to her more about that, because I was like, oh, Lord, she's doing that talking out loud thing. And she'd be like, woo, thanking Jesus, praising Jesus, talking all the time when you were praying. And I remembered that when we walked into her room. But what it did was ping me about Jesus. And we started to sing her songs about Jesus. And I think that Vicki and Alan and Elaine Woodleaf, their daddy taught us a song in his living room about Jesus. Oh, I should sing it, but I don't want to sing it. Jesus, Jesus. I don't even know if it has a name. It's a Gaither song. It's called Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. And their dad taught us that. And we sang that to her. And she got tears in her eyes, and she just started crying. And you could tell she was singing it in the spirit and singing it in her mind and didn't communicate a word. And we went through 3 or 4 songs, and it was just the most wonderful time, wonderful visit. And she fell asleep not long after that. But I tell you, I wasn't that upset about it, because I knew if she knew Jesus, she knew Jesus better than me as far as I'm concerned, because she'd known him longer. Been through life-threatening car accidents, all kinds of crazy things. Done things in her life that she wasn't proud of. But Jesus made it all right. He made it all right for her. Jesus, I'm hearing that song. Isn't there a song that says, Jesus is just all right with me? That is not even my era. That feels like Kevin Gigu with a ponytail going down the street with his big cross. Did you all know this, right, Kevin? Did that happen? This really happened. You know, he lived in a little teeny town in North Carolina, and I went to see it, and it's got this nice little street, and his dad owns the shoe store on the main street, and they go to this little church here. It's just beautiful, like a storybook, and he's talking about his big cross that him and his friends all carried down the street in the 70s, right? That's gutsy, folks. That makes Kevin a Jesus man a long time ago. So do you know who sings that song? Who is it? Oh, Lordy. Is Marty Richardson here today? She loved them. The Doobie Brothers. That's a, let's not even talk about that title. Jesus is just all right with me. We're going to have to, whew, that's funny. This is a bunny trail. Lord, help me. They're like, we're not going to edit your CDs anymore because we're live streaming. I'm like, uh-oh. Hi, everybody. I forget you're watching sometimes. All right. So, in the King James, could you put that up? I just want to make sure that that gets clear of where we don't want to go. Could you put, it's the King James, and I want you to make sure Hebrews 2:15 in the King James. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm not going to live that way, are you?
No.
You're going to hang out with me and live that way. And then it says in Romans 8:15, in the NIV, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. So look how it tells you you can go back. You can go in and out of that fear stuff. It's always knocking. It's always coming. So what? The spirit you received brought you your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Remember, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty, not any of this bondage stuff. And that's why it's so fun to work together, because sometimes you don't know what the bondage is, but the Lord will reveal it. And we can have a prayer, and we can speak and proclaim and decree, and that stuff has to fall away, right? It changes the atmosphere. The angels are so key in all of these things. And don't you love how I saw them in 1 Thessalonians 4, the voice of the archangel. I want to hear that, the voice of the archangel. I don't think it's going to be a whisper. Because it talks about the trump and the next wording, right? Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Minister to us. Remember Jesus? Matthew 4:11. Then the devil left him and angels came and ministered to him. So for whatever the affliction is, not only has Jesus guaranteed us eternal life, but also why would those angels not come to minister to us if we need it and see the unseen? I'm telling you, if I'm laying in a bed, you're going to feel glory when you walk in the room, people. And I hope you walk in the room and when you look at me, you close your eyes and you see the heavenly host in the room, that I hope there's white glory coming out of the room, like a big light, wherever it is. Hook up some energy. Get the windmills going. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm like, Wayne, I got things to do here. I thought this was interesting in Exodus 23:20. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Now that talked to me, because Jesus talking about in John, I go to prepare a place for you. And there's angels that worship at the throne there. One of them's called Cielo. Cello. However you want to say it. He likes Cielo though, right? We're not supposed to say cello. I'm going, Think about that. Hebrews 12:2. I'll leave you with two things. Hebrews 12:2, in the Passion Translation, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Isn't that fun? It's the faith of Jesus, right? Ooh, Joseph Prince can preach the fire into that one. His example is this: because his heart was filled with the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. And I wanted to read this last one in Revelation 21:3-5. I love how God has the final say, and this is what he says. Now the dwelling of God is with men. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Sound like a good deal? And we didn't have to give anything up to get the deal. He heaped it on. Sue, I want you to come up and just pray. Just from the Spirit for the day.
Wow. Lord, we just
are so thankful that you have called us to be yours and that you gave us life, you gave us spirit, and you gave us Jesus. And we look to him, that author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame of the cross, that we might live and have life and have it abundantly. We are so thankful that you've set us in your family and have given us every good and perfect gift that we can live life on this earth and have fun. That life is good because you are good. And we walk in your kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. Your kingdom is above all. And has, you know, it's not a government. It's a kingdom. And it's your choice. You gave it to us. And we are free to live in it. And we thank you that our lives can be an example and bring hope to others that see us living without that fear of death, that we have that hope of the return of our Lord that's going to take us to you, and we're going to forever be with him. And we're so excited about that. We are hoping for the day, and we are resting in your grace and your mercy, knowing that you have made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. We give you praise and thanks for every good thing that you have given us, and especially for our Lord Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. It's my day. You gonna remember that? It's my day, because Jesus had his way.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.